Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
It's snowing again.
Yes. What the? On cue.
Yeah.
If it's Wednesday at 9 and you're at the station, it must be snowing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We seem to make it like it's like a consequence of our early morning and arrival at
we
the new
cause
place.
Precipitation.
We do. It gets excited.
Yes. Good. It's so much warmer when it snows.
Well, it just feels like, okay, it's January. Mm-hmm. We should be okay with winter. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's still winter.
Well, and thank heavens we're not anywhere east of here.
It's horrible.
Holy
I've heard like
Nelly.
So bad enough that it's minus 30 and then it's minus 50 with the wind chill. But the wind is blowing 70 kilometers an hour.
Ouch.
Oh. I don't even think I could go outside.
No. In fact, they're recommending you don't. So if you're listening from anywhere east of here, please don't go outside.
Just don't go out.
Just listen to your radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be here. We'll keep you company. Yeah. Mm. And if you're a parent of a teenager, mm-hmm. you'll be very interested to sit and listen for the next hour.
You'll recognize them because they're outside with running shoes and hoodies on.
Yes.
Some zero weather. How are they not cold all the time?
Because they have high metabolism.
Oh, is that it?
But you know what? Here's parenting tip number one. They have to learn natural consequences.
Yes, I had that on my list. Natural consequences.
Yep. So you just can't say, it's cold out. Here's your parka. They have to go out in their hoodie and their running shoes. They have to get cold. They have to be uncomfortable. And then the next day they will actually take a coat.
Yes. Don't go 12 rounds.
No, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
But they do stay warmer. They know if they're hot or cold.
Yes.
Right?
I would hope so by now.
Well, that's the thing. When they're little, even, you're supposed to not force them into a coat and stuff like that. You just bring the coat with you.
Yes.
Because then they'll say, wait a minute, I am cold.
Hmm.
Then you'll be prepared.
Natural consequences. Mm-hmm. So you can probably tell today we're talking about the art of
parenting teens.
Teens.
And it's because we have those.
We sure do. We are right up to our eyeballs in teenagers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's been a fun ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a learning experience. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd want to do it again. Like, I wouldn't want to start another family right now. You know, even though I know everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tricky.
It is tricky times. And
well, they don't tell you about that. All the emphasis is on the babies and the toddlers, right? And then they hit that age and you're like, what just happened?
Yeah. And other people tell you, oh, my daughter was great and my son was awesome.
Yeah.
And then other people say, oh, it was the worst time. And like, I wanted them to move away. And it's just going to be a crapshoot.
No,
right?
it absolutely is a very critical time in the life of a family. I think we should also say that no parenting awards will be handed out on today's show. Like we're talking about the art of raising teenagers, but I want to disclose right from the get-go, I would not be winning any awards.
Well, I don't think any of us would because we're learning as we go.
Yeah,
and then right when we figure it out, they enter a new phase.
For sure. It's definitely not. This is not the expert panel.
No. However, we did want to talk about it because it is such a fast-changing world.
Mm-hmm.
Technology and the way that our cities are designed and culture and media and government, everything is changing so
expectations
fast.
Expectations and value shifts. And
those issues have entered into our conversation so many times when we talk about art and culture that it was, you know, kind of time to talk about how this is affecting our next generation.
For sure, because they are our future leaders. They're making decisions now that will impact how we live.
Yeah.
So it kind of is about us. It's all about us.
And we talk about climate catastrophe knowing that we've got 12 years to turn this thing around, right? We've got 12 years to get off fossil fuels. So those kids are only going to be in their late 20s when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a huge issue. How we behave today is going to affect their lives.
Mm-hmm. So we need to be listening.
Yes.
Yeah. Rather than barking. Do this. Do that. Don't do this. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the history of adolescence is, I find, interesting because it's a relatively new phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. You used to be
and
able
it
to
isn't
just
necessarily
be an adult.
The case in all cultures.
Right. I guess
not all cultures
kind of a Western
kind of embrace adolescence and teenagehood. You're 14, you're off you go. Get to work.
Yeah, you work, get married.
Yeah.
If you're a girl, you start reproducing.
Have babies, right? Mm-hmm. So, is it a manufactured crisis? I don't know.
Well, I think that
it's
we've been maturing.
Of course.
we've been maturing later for quite a long time, right? Like mm-hmm. evolutionarily, it's been going on. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to be able to up and walk around as 6-month-old babies, right? 4, 5, 6 month old, like way back.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Yeah.
And in fact, if you did you ever see that documentary about babies? There's actually, I think there's no words in the whole movie. It's just a study of babies in 4 different parts of the world. It's like in Japan and in cool. the United States and in Africa and I don't know, somewhere else.
Yeah.
And the rate
the
of
milestones.
Oh my gosh, the milestone rate in the baby that was from, I'm pretty sure it was in a very southern African country. And it like just leaps and bounds. This kid was up and moving and doing stuff and carrying water before the baby in Japan was even walking.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
Oh, isn't that fascinating? Yeah, human development. I mean, and do we dismiss teenagers? Oh, they're teenagers. I mean, I feel like we don't really give them enough credit sometimes.
We don't. And this is a little tiny tidbit I just picked up yesterday from my coworker who was mentioning Michelle Obama's new book. Mm-hmm. And in it, she says, Michelle Obama says, we are not raising children. We are raising adults.
True. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have to teach them the skills they need as adults. Otherwise, you raise children who will have the skills of
adult children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they will always be looking for parenting.
Mm-hmm.
They will be looking for, they will want to be told what to do. And then you'll be in a terrible situation where.
Yeah, and then they'll blame you if you do it and it doesn't work out. Oh, so profound. So many examples of crisis based on adults who are childlike.
Yeah.
Who want to be told what to do.
Mm-hmm. And can blame the authoritarian figure yes. for anything that goes wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nothing is their fault then.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. Did you enjoy being a teenager?
I can't say I enjoyed that time. It was a pretty, like, I didn't have, okay. Looking back on it, maybe I just don't remember,
mm-hmm.
but you know, maybe ask my mom, but I don't remember having the huge ups and downs as I've heard other people have. And as I've seen in my own kids,
mm-hmm.
I might've been a bit cranky just because that's a time when you're so unsure of yourself. Mm-hmm. But I just don't remember being really unhappy or really...
Physiological hormones are an overdrive.
Yeah.
It is the one of two, like, teenagehood, your entire brain is rewiring.
Yeah. It looks messy.
Yeah. And becoming a mother, your entire brain rewires.
Mm. Well, when you're...
So that's why you always hear stories. When I have concerns, my friends will say, oh, Louise, don't worry about it. They'll get through it. They all do. It's all good. And I'm thinking, right? Or will they?
I know.
But if their brains are rewiring, it's possible, you know?
Well, and that's kind of what we're talking about today is that mm-hmm. I think it is different today mm-hmm. than when we grew up. And it was different. I know every generation is different, but it's really different
right,
today.
Right.
Technology has made it an entirely different package.
Right. And if you sort of live in a structured world where, well, when I was a teenager, this was not acceptable, or I don't remember having that value set imposed upon me. I mean, my parents would say, well, no, that's not, you're not doing that. Well, why not? Why aren't I doing that? And I remember having the argument with them. I'm a good teenager. Like, trust me, you guys lucked out. If I could tell you stories about my friends. You're just being this way because I'm a teenager.
Like, yeah.
Give me a little bit of credit here. They didn't like that very much. But it's true. I was a good teenager.
Yeah.
And some of my friends were epic train wrecks. And they turned out fine. In fact, they're leaps and bounds ahead of me. But so we sort of have this assumption that this is, you know, I'll be playing the role of teenager and you'll be playing the role of strict parent and we will fight and right. There will be drama news at 11, you know,
like, yeah.
It doesn't have to be like that.
It does not have to be like that. Yeah.
No, and I think fact, I made some of those mistakes in the early horse out of the barn kind of days where they're trying to assert independence. I'm like, not under my roof. You won't, mister, you know, which was dumb. And, well, may have caused some damage.
May or may not.
Irreparable, but yeah. Right.
The thing is that kids have to learn how to take risks.
Yes.
And if we as parents are too overprotective and don't let them take risks as young, like as kids, like mm-hmm. little kids, and let them take appropriate risks all the way through the teen years, they never learn what it is to suffer the natural consequences of their actions.
For sure.
And therefore, they'll take worse risks later on. And so I think if your friends were
trained... Well, you learn either way.
Yeah, right? But if your friends were train wrecks as teenagers, like think about some of the... Maybe they were taking risks, but they weren't like life and death risks, right? And yeah. so now they're learning...
Sometimes they were life and death risks. They were terribly ill-considered lack of judgment. Like, what the... were you thinking?
Yeah. Okay, so they were lucky enough to survive that. But what comes out at the end is the understanding that risks... come with rewards.
Yes.
And so maybe that gives them a different kind of attitude towards adult life. And I'm not saying that every kid should be out there like swinging from trees and, you know, going out at, you know, fast cars, racing cars or whatever, right? I'm just saying that we have to be okay with the risky behavior that comes inherently with the teenage years, with that prefrontal cortex development.
For sure, because they're thinking with the back part of their brain. And while their brain is rewiring that, all those good decisions that happen at the front of your brain, the reasonable, safe, realistic ones, aren't happening. It's all happening in the back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We have to just kind of be like,
hey. Yeah. And so if you have ADHD or anxiety specified or unspecified, you know, it could be that there's some, the mechanics of your brain are either faulty or not ready yet. Mm-hmm. Right? So... I always say to my kids, like, there's two ways to do things. There's the hard way and the easy way. Like, wouldn't it just be better to pick the easy way?
But not if you're, like, not if you're a kid trying to figure out who you are. You want to kind of mix all of those actions in with your self-identity and, like, I want to be my own person. I want to do it different.
Right. And then I always struggle with, is this my fault? Did I do a terrible thing? Or did I make some horrible misstep? Or... you know, what could I have done differently? And then someone said to me, you know, it's a lottery. You don't know what. Right?
I know. But
the assumption is that we're basing everything our teenager does is our responsibility. It's not.
Mm. Yeah.
They don't. Our kids don't live in our bubble.
No, and they're practicing. Yeah. They're practicing being adults.
Well, I would say when I was a teenager, I felt like my role was to practice being an adult. Mm-hmm. I was very adult-like, and I don't actually think I hit my teens until I was into my 20s, right?
Yeah.
And I started to loosen up a bit when my confidence got better, but yeah, it was probably a bit boring too.
I think there was lots of people in my life too that were very boring teenagers. I don't know. I didn't follow up with them. Maybe they've lived lovely, stable lives, but maybe it's only the ones that are crazy and out there that we notice. And there we think that all teenagers are like that.
Yeah.
But they're not. Okay. Let's talk about some of the things that are actually happening today. Oh my gosh. Seriously? We're almost at the break?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, before we go to break, I just want to say we are going to talk about some of the technological things that teenagers have to deal with. We are going to talk about suicide, violence, addiction, eating disorders, social media, some of that stuff today. So
you've been warned.
You've been warned. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're listening to Artscape today on a little diversion talking about the parenting of the art of parenting teens.
Yes. Yes. Diversion. Yeah. And is it a diversion from Artscape?
Well, apparently not, because if you're going to start the argument...
Well, no, but I was just thinking, you know, in our lives, our most important work of art is our children.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's true.
And it's the biggest design project we'll ever face, right? Yeah. Like, how do I create an environment that is welcoming, nurturing, safe, and yet still keep my own sanity, right? Like, I'm always having this back and forth with my kids. Like, I don't actually need you to empty the dishwasher. I'm perfectly capable of doing it. I want you to want to empty the dishwasher because my job is to teach you or create an environment where you understand respect and reciprocity and responsibility. Mm-hmm. And if you don't empty the dishwasher, I feel like I failed. I can't even get my kid to empty the dishwasher. You know, like that kind of narrative. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I use like reverse psychology. Like, no, I'm perfectly capable of taking out the garbage and switching out the laundry and shoveling the driveway and picking up dog poop. I can do that. I don't need you to do that.
Yeah.
I need you.
It's an understanding of contributing to the household.
Right. I need to understand that this thing, the sphere that I've created is working, right? Mm-hmm. So
well, you're
you'll be punished or you'll be grounded.
Right.
I've never been that mom. Like, yeah. I've never grounded my kids. I've never spanked them. I've never taken stuff away from them. And people say, well, then there's no consequence of there.
That's not the right kind of consequence.
I just don't feel like,
that's
I don't
about
believe
the parenting
in,
kids as opposed to, or I mean, raising kids as yes. opposed to raising adults.
Yes.
The unnatural consequences are what makes them yeah. behave more like kids.
And I mean, I respect the households for whom that is a choice and it works brilliantly. But I guarantee you it wouldn't work in my house. If anything, it just
probably doesn't
it work
in other people's houses too. They
makes
just don't
it
know
worse.
It yet.
Makes it worse at our house.
Yeah. So you have actually touched on one of the things that is an important solution to a lot of the issues that we'll be talking about today, and that is to creating a safe space.
Yes.
And the household and the family are the critical key here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the solutions to a lot of the problems that we'll be talking about is to reduce the pace of your life.
Yes.
To reduce your schedule and to spend more time as a family
yes.
together face to face.
Create a yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so all that's all you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Is really
and physicians
not,
recommend that.
Yeah,
go away.
And if you
go
can't,
fishing.
If you find your kid is spending too much time on their screen and mm-hmm. they're, you know, and they have stress and anxiety, no matter what the cause, what they and you know of all of the issues that we're dealing with, it the number one thing you need to do is reduce the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you. Work less.
Mm-hmm.
Your kid is less enrolled in all these other extra events. Mm-hmm. They have less responsibility. It might seem counterproductive. It's like, no, I want my kid to have music and soccer and, you know, go cross-country skiing. And you might want all these opportunities mm-hmm. for them, but that is adding to their anxiety and stress, which makes them more, even more susceptible to social media pull mm-hmm. and just screens in general.
Mm-hmm.
So creating that safe family environment with more family time, just make them. You want to have some family time? It's like all four of us are going to the whatever together.
Yeah. My solution is always food.
It works. Food works a lot.
What do you want to eat? Mm-hmm. Where do you want to eat? When do you want to eat it? How much of it do you want to eat?
Yeah.
So it helps. It does help.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that I learned, like stress, anxiety, and depression is the, you know, among the key components to a lot of the
yeah.
issues that are,
and
the
you know what?
Are facing.
Maybe it's always been thus and we're just recognizing it now.
Well, here's the thing. It's true. There always has been a hormonal roller coaster that teens have been on. But right up until the last 10 years or so, teens have been able to identify the source of their stress and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the things that studies have found in both Canada and the United States is that the last 10 years or so, teens are not able to pinpoint the source of their stress.
Okay.
So it's become this very ambiguous, I don't know what's wrong, I just am freaked out all the time
okay.
kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so they're reporting...
Yeah, I've heard that. Well, if I knew it was wrong, I could deal with it. I
yeah.
don't know. I'm
like, and it oh, used okay. to be, like, they could say, well, it's my family life, you know, like my dad's working all the time, you know, my mom's upset, or else it's a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Their first boyfriend, first girlfriend, or substance abuse, right? Like they could say there's this.
Yes.
And now they can't, they don't even know.
Interesting.
So that's a huge change yeah. because if you can't pinpoint it, how do you really mm-hmm. counsel yourself? How do you
yeah.
get counseling?
And maybe life was more broken up. Like you would have school time and then you have sports time and then you would have home time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you picked up the phone and the other person didn't answer, that was that. Whereas now I feel like they're with social media, if they're on Snapchat or Instagram, which is basically what they're on,
mm-hmm.
They're always in contact with their friends all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're always walking down the high school hallway under the eyes of everybody else.
Yeah, which is the problem because comparisons are the biggest problem
yeah,
on social media.
Yeah, because on Snapchat, they know where they all are. And if they're not there, they're like, wait a minute, how come I didn't get invited?
Mm-hmm. And so you're comparing yourself to others
yeah.
all the time.
Or I'm not going there because that guy's there.
Yeah.
Or,
which is contributing to negative body image
mm.
and just that sense of like I'm at the fear of missing out.
Or you're missing out.
Yeah.
Or yeah, yeah. So it's like, I mean, I did not enjoy walking down the hallway in my high school all the time. I certainly could not do it 24/7.
Yeah, and that's exactly what social media mm-hmm. does.
Yes.
And in fact, there's so many social media studies right now, and they're showing that body image is the number one problem, is, and mm-hmm. it's causing girls especially to, yeah. to... There's been a resurgence of eating disorders mm-hmm. because of social media. And, the
and I would say boys, issue. Too. I feel that they have... A lot of boys I know have expressed those concerns. Like mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, we've got that happening on social media. We've got the sexualization mm-hmm. Happening on social media.
So, violence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all there, and it's mm-hmm. constant. So the pace is what's the real problem here, right? The pace of society, the instant scrolling, constant everything of social media that it never slows down. Yeah. There's no break.
And it's, you know, we used to talk about somebody coming of age and discovering how to be an adult. Well, they don't have to. I mean, we just shove it in their faces yeah. all day, every day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Where's the discovery?
Yeah.
You know?
So in addition to body image problems, so like social media and body image problems have a direct correlation. Mm-hmm. And that's the nice thing now. Like my kids used to roll their eyes when I'd say, you know, screens are bad. But now there's actual studies yeah. showing screens are bad. Yeah. So it's not just body image problems, but in fact, sleep problems. Mm-hmm. Insomnia is being attributed. And youth are suffering from insomnia in unbelievably yes. astronomical yes. rates. And that is
because they cannot turn off their brain.
Yeah.
And it does lead to substance use and, mm-hmm. You know, medication. Is that really necessary? Like, are our lives so stressed out that our kids yeah. need to be medicated to sleep? I don't know.
Well, that's when they talk about when
formally
they...
Formally or informally, yeah, I guess.
When the capital, they talk about solutions to the social media problem. They recommend 3 times a day of no screens. Mm-hmm. In the morning.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah. yeah. At meal times.
Right.
And at bedtime.
Yeah.
And so if you can convince your family, and that's everybody in the family, to be off your screens for at least an hour before bed, it helps with, you know, sleep problems.
I would think it would help. Yeah.
I know it. Like at our place, we turn off our Wi-Fi. At 10 o'clock, the Wi-Fi is on a power bar. Flip.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And we've done that since day one. And it's kind of interesting because we, some friends of ours had trouble with their one daughter on their iPad all night. And they kept having to get up in the middle of the night to check to see if she wasn't awake on her iPad. And we said, why don't you just turn off the Wi-Fi? Like, so simple. And they're like, we can't do that because they needed their Wi-Fi. They stay up later and do yes. stuff. But then they started and they're like, oh my gosh, that made such a difference. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, yeah, they can't be on their devices
yeah.
all night.
Yeah.
So that's an easy fix, seems to me.
Yeah.
I do want to point out that there has been one group that has benefited from social media overall.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the LGBTQ community. Yes. And that is because people in the LGBTQ community have come from historically a space of hiding,
mm-hmm.
shame,
mm-hmm. Isolation.
Yeah. Segregation, mm-hmm. Targeting, like violence, all this horrible stuff. And online, they're able to find a community of people who feel just mm-hmm. like them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, you know, new. Yes. That's brand new. Because when you've been hiding historically all your life for fear of persecution, then there's not a lot of support
right.
out there physically.
Right.
So social media has been helpful to those kids.
Yeah. And isn't it Let's Talk today?
Yeah.
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 So interesting footnote.
Speaking of Let's Talk,
mm-hmm.
I would like to talk about teen suicide
mm-hmm.
because that's been a very interesting development over the last few years. And again, because we keep good statistics in Canada and the U.S., we are really able to see trends. And it's really worrying, I find, because I'm the mother of 2 teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
You're the mom of 2 teenage boys. Mm-hmm. We can compare these interesting things. But traditionally, this is terrible to say, traditionally, teenage boys have had about 3 times the rate of suicide mm-hmm. as teenage girls. And only in the last 10 or 12 years, the rates for teenage boys' suicide attempts and successes have come down, but teenage girls have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used to be 3 times higher. Now they're almost the same, mm-hmm. which is awful.
Yes.
It's great that boys have come down, but it's it's still really high.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so seeing the...
And even one is too high.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we're understanding death by suicide and the signs and the conversations better than we might have.
Yeah.
For one thing, we never say committed suicide anymore. It's not like it. You've committed this. Hmm. You died by suicide. It's an illness.
Right.
The other thing is this idea that we don't want to talk about it because we might trigger it to make it happen, right?
Yeah.
Also not.
It's not. In fact, it's the opposite.
No. I mean, it's the hardest conversation you'll ever have is, are you thinking about killing yourself? Mm-hmm. Have you thought about when and have you thought about how?
Yeah.
And do you promise to tell me before you make a decision? Mm-hmm. That's a tough thing to have to say to a kid.
Oh, that's really hard.
But it might be the most important thing you say.
And so there's a lot of warning signs. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody needs to educate themselves on the warning signs. But
well, like with any illness, there are symptoms and, mm-hmm. you know, you need to be watching for the high fever or the cold chills or the, as you would a cold.
Yeah.
Not to say that everyone can be, that can be prevented on all occasions, but this idea of the stigma and the fear of having to address it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly appropriate and okay to address it.
Yeah.
And if you can't do it, and I totally get that, there are trained professionals who can.
Mm-hmm. And they're available out there. There's lots of resources.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Warning signs are an invitation to communicate.
The conversation, yes.
Yeah. So that is your opening. Always think of that. If you see something that you think is a warning sign, and because sometimes, you know, people have said there were no warning signs. Like, so if you even see one, then it's an invitation to communicate.
Yeah, and that could be that there were no warning signs.
Yeah.
But oftentimes there are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the conversation starts with, are you thinking about killing yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be afraid to say it out loud.
That honesty piece is... That's hard. My kids were little, I used to say, the only thing you can get in trouble for is not telling the truth.
Yeah, that's true.
But the truth sometimes is like, I'm not sure I want to hear this.
Yeah.
Right? And so you have to be brave. It's like, we should get medals or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should get a badge.
Mm-hmm.
Brave parent.
At least a badge.
Yeah.
Maybe a sash.
Yeah. No. But you definitely don't want to be the parent that just puts their hands over their ears and says, I don't want to hear it. It's okay. Go do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about it. Don't be scared.
Or bury your life in busyness. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a dynamic, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's not a one-sided thing.
Yeah. You know what's super fun?
Yeah.
Is when they get to an age, because now I have an 18-year-old and a 17-year-old. So my 18-year-old just moved out.
Holy crap.
I know.
Sorry.
And I miss her
terribly. Oh my gosh.
But I feel like this is not fair. I made this person.
No, I don't
and
get
then,
to keep her.
Yeah. And then she just gets to the point where she's super fun to be around and funny and wonderful. And then she leaves.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's not fair.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's ultimately, maybe they're preparing us too.
I guess.
I'm going to make you so mad you'll open the door when I leave, you know? It could be. Sometimes it's easier to break up under negative.
Yeah.
Here's the door.
But no, you just wait. As soon as everything's all smooth sailing, that's when your boys will be like, bye, Mom.
Bye,
I'm moving
Mom.
Out.
Yeah. And I, you know. That's our job. I have this article on my fridge. I think I've talked about before, and it says the world needs your kids, and it's to remind me they're not actually mine.
Yeah,
I've just been entrusted with their education and moral and social development, and hopefully I don't screw it up too bad, so other people don't have to fix it. But
love most of all.
Yeah, love and creating safe open space, harm reduction. I mean, all those things you think about being a parent of a teenager, they kind of have to go out the window.
Yeah, there was a lot of preconceived ideas I had, too. That I don't know. I think I thought, I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but none of that stuff worked. Oh, I do have to say.
Well, I will admit I thought, not to my kids, that won't happen.
Yeah.
Like, we're very fond of our own parenting skills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be like this. And
Yes.
I'll raise them like this so that this never happens.
Yes. I'm going to be epic, right? But maybe not so much. And okay. No, make it sound like they're, I mean, they're lovely, caring, funny, kind, resilient kids, and I love them to bits. I think I'm, for me, the teenage years is more about what I, my expectations and what I had to realize and what, you know, mm-hmm. yeah.
We learned how to be the parents of a teen yes. at the same time as yeah, that and kid I've, was learning to be
I've
a teen.
Evolved as a person.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. I changed a lot because mm-hmm. I read a book called mm-hmm. You're Ruining My Life. Mm-hmm. I think I might have mentioned it before, yeah. but it's Jennifer Colari, and I think her thing is called Connective Parenting.
Yes.
And I can't even remember where I got this book or who gave it to me, but I want to thank them because it changed the way that I communicated with my oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. Like we were just like bong bong bong. Mm-hmm. And it changed everything. It made our household so much quieter yeah. and happier mm-hmm. and smoother because of this one book.
But so it's definitely a dynamic. It's not just teenagers. It's households where teenagehood is happening. Mm-hmm. Right? And you do have to change your
dynamic. To change.
And sometimes you gotta pick your battles and let you have some stuff go. And
yeah, you have to work at it.
Yeah.
It's not something that I'm just inane, like it's just in me to be a parent. Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. When you're parenting a teen, you have to learn stuff all the time. Yeah. You have to find new techniques, new ways of dealing with stuff. And you have to be prepared to shift like a sailboat in the wind.
Yeah.
If something isn't working, don't do that anymore.
No.
There's lots of options
right. and
out
I
there.
Think they do want boundaries and expectations and traditions and gatherings, and those things are, you know, they want the story that you create.
The family story yeah. is the single biggest contributor to self-esteem. Yeah. If they understand that they have story, mm-hmm. then they have a place to yes. start from when building their mm-hmm. identity. Mm-hmm. So it's important to talk about family history. Mm-hmm. Tell those crazy old stories of your drunk uncle. Mm-hmm. Tell the stories about when they were babies and they did this funny thing and the dog, you yeah. know, like
or what grandma used to say or what grandpa did.
Yep,
or,
yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Go way back mm-hmm. because story is what gives them yeah. a anchor mm-hmm. into your family.
Yeah. And it's about connection and contribution. And I mean, it's very difficult not to go that. When I was a teenager, I walked uphill both ways in the snow with no shoes on, you know, that sort of thing.
But that's true in San
Juan. But it's not about them. It's about us.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And so I think if there's anything I learned is that, oh my gosh, being a teenager has nothing to do with me as a mom. Mm-hmm. I'm just there to be a bumper, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there'll be some fender benders, and there might even be some pretty serious accidents, but you just got to keep being that fender, yeah. you know?
And you're the safe place to be the fender.
Yeah, we do have
and
to
And that's
try
the thing
the
I learned about
place.
You're Ruining My Life is that I was using all these opportunities for teachable moments, mm-hmm. right? Every time one of the kids came to me with blah, blah, this thing happened, I'd be like, well, blah, 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 blah. And I'd give the teachable thing. They don't want to hear that. That's the one key thing that I got out of this book. They just want you to acknowledge that they've had this issue.
Yes.
That's it. They don't want you to fix it. They don't mm-hmm. want you to guide them and parent them through every tiny moment. So if they came home from school and were all like, oh, Joanna did this terrible thing, instead of saying, well, you know, give her a break. Joanna might be having some trouble.
Yeah.
You know, no, you'd say like, oh, that Joanna.
She's such so
a
frustrating biatch. For you. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're supposed to actually just be there for
and
them as an emotional
support.
It's
true, because if you can't be there for those little things that you might find petty or mm-hmm. they're certainly not going to come for the big stuff.
No.
Right.
And so guidance happens in lots of yeah. ways. It doesn't have to be verbal teachable moments mm-hmm. that you're lecturing them mm-hmm. at every opportunity.
And I mean, I guess I always think, well, in life, I'd much rather know than not know. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I try to say, I don't really care what it is. I just want the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
Same.
Yeah.
That's an important factor. Mm-hmm. I want the truth. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about...
And no judgment truth. Like, I'm not going to...
Oh, yeah. The,
right?
Well, the judgment thing comes up with the suicide thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one thing that stops a lot of kids from talking to anybody about suicide is because they don't want to be judged. Because mm-hmm. judgment is this huge pressure on them at mm-hmm. this age. And that's why comparison and social media is such a terrible influence. And actually, that goes right to my next thing. I want to talk about media violence. Mm-hmm. And this exposure to all of this horrible stuff mm-hmm. on the planet mm-hmm. all at the same time. Like how there's just no stopping negative images coming to their doorstep. Mm-hmm. Because that is having a way more serious and long-lasting effect on all of us, not just teenagers, than we're giving it credit for. Mm-hmm. So when you have media violence being exposed to people, you are receiving... there's a thing, I'm sorry, now I can't remember what it is, but there's a thing that your brain responds differently to negativity.
Oh, yeah, cortisol versus dopamine? Or?
Yeah, but it's like this, something that draws us to watch negative imagery, like when we see violence, war.
Because we're cavemen and we're hardwired to watch for danger.
Yeah.
It's that's, our job. It's, fight or flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called something. It's called a negativity something.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm not familiar with the term.
Well, it's what makes us drawn to that. Mm-hmm. And now when we're providing a lot of it online.
24/7.
Yeah. Then we're drawn to it a lot. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of it. And so what's happening is that, like, they've always known that when you're exposed to violence in all these different forms of media, that it can change your mood. Mm-hmm. And in fact, people who watch the trade towers... watch the planes mm-hmm. hit the trade towers and watch trade towers collapse. A lot of people who watch that 24/7 on TV unfold suffered from PTSD.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that was not being there, suffering from any of the consequences. That's just watching. Mm-hmm. So they know that those kinds of things can happen. PTSD type symptoms can happen to people who get too much violence on the
Yeah, I would screen. Argue the broadcast of that incident has had far, far deeper repercussions than we'll ever know.
Mm-hmm. Ever. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you're unfamiliar with PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder, then a lot of the symptoms are anxiety, mm-hmm. depression, mm-hmm. insomnia, mm-hmm. right? Like that level of stress. And what is it we're seeing in teens most these days? Stress, anxiety, depression, and insomnia. Yeah. It's the same stuff. Mm-hmm. They are suffering from PTSD.
And ADHD.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of factors.
Or ADD.
But one of the things that happens from out of the PTSD situation is substance abuse. That's an important factor that mm-hmm. we need
you
to address.
You want to mask the pain.
Yeah. Yeah. So any kind of substance abuse and also the two things that happen from too much of anything, sensitization or desensitization. Mm-hmm. So the sensitization is when you've been exposed to, like for instance, being exposed to violence so much that you become so sensitive to it that you have an emotional response even at the slightest bit of mm-hmm. violent anything. Whereas desensitization is when the more you're exposed to it, the more numb you are to it and you do not have an emotional reaction
yes.
to it. So you've got one of two things happening, and teenagers will, like, depending on who they are and how they're made up, they'll go down the different roads. But one of the things that's interesting is that they're showing that desensitization happens most with kids who play violent video games.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about the effect of video games mm-hmm. on kids, like there's lots of, like, it doesn't affect them. It does affect them. But the fact is it does affect them, but it makes them desensitized. And whereas real violence, like on TV and social media and seeing all these horrible things, and can have either the sensitization or desensitization. Mm-hmm. And
but either way, it's an extreme.
Either way, it's so an extreme. It's, either way,
not,
it's messing with their emotional
leveled out.
Yeah. health
yeah.
and their mental health. And that is the problem, is that we are not addressing that we have messed with these kids' emotions. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to figure out ways to fix it.
Yeah. Is it a manufactured crisis?
Oh, totally. I believe it. And then we wonder why they have these huge emotional breakdowns mm-hmm. at the slightest thing. It's mm-hmm. sensitization. Mm-hmm. And or if they don't even seem to flinch when their friend has broken their leg skateboarding, then it's desensitization.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we have to recognize that that's what we've done to them with, well, we like parents, but how society has influenced them with all of this.
Yeah,
extra.
They're very vulnerable beings, and yet they present as not vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's another way to solve this problem is the less time on the screen, more family time, less scheduling. So reduce the pace of your life. That's mm-hmm. always the solution mm-hmm. to a lot of these problems.
And take a breath too, because things won't always go, your expectation will not always be met. Mm-hmm. And so you have a choice. You can either lash out or punish or condemn or you can just take a breath and say, you know what, I need a minute to think about this.
Yeah.
I need to figure out how I feel. I need to figure out where we go from here, right?
But do they even have, I kind of wonder if they even have the ability to know what is it they feel.
No, I mean as a parent of a teen.
Oh, I see.
We have a choice, right? Like we can have a prescribed reaction. Mm-hmm. This will mean that happens and that will. Sometimes you just have to like pull back and think about it.
Yeah. Which means you're teaching them to pull back and thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's something that I don't think they're encouraged to do these days. Like, are they encouraged to take time to think about anything?
Right, right.
It's about immediate everything.
Yes, yes.
So we have to show them because you're the role model.
Yes.
You can't really, you can't teach them very much. You really just have to show them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And say, I have found myself saying, I just need a few minutes to think about this.
Yeah. I remember that from way, way back. Dr. Martin Broken Leg. He gave a really awesome little presentation before I was a parent, I think. And he had some great advice. And he said one of his, I think he had teenagers at the time. And he said, when they asked me, can I stay out till, like, can I go to the mall or stay out till 11 o'clock? Whatever, right? He'd say, I need time to think about it. And the kid would say, well, but I want to go right now. And Susie can go. And he's like, look, if you need an answer right now, the answer is no. Mm-hmm. But if you can give me time to think about it, the answer might be less.
Yes.
It might be yes.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, that's such a great thing. Mm-hmm. Like, then they understand that we have to talk about this mm-hmm. stuff. We have to share information. We maybe have to negotiate a situation. We're not there to be this authoritarian dictator. Yes, no. No, we're there to talk and communicate and figure out what's the best option. Yes. Like maybe coming home at 10 o'clock isn't practical right. if you're out with your friends and you go to a movie that ends at 11, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
and
so how can you be flexible but have boundaries? Because I think boundaries are very important.
Yeah.
But how rigid, right? Do you bend or do you break? I don't know.
Well, you're raising adults. Mm-hmm. So we better think about how we would like them to behave as adults
yes.
rather than how we want them to behave right now
right, right.
as a kid.
Yeah.
And now, as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, today's dramatic moment
involves
a teenager.
It's not all doom and gloom. These are smart, smart kids.
Oh, they're so smart.
And they know how to figure stuff out.
Well, if you've ever had a problem with your computer and you've had to look around for the nearest 13-year-old, right. you'll know that.
Right. And anything they need to know, they can go on YouTube and figure it out.
And they're not afraid to press this. Buttons.
No.
We are afraid to press buttons.
Yeah. No. So Apple has had to disable FaceTime.
I didn't even know this.
Which is a very popular application on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. It's like Skype, so you can talk. It's kind of like Inspector Gadget. You know, you can talk and see their face on your phone.
Yeah.
Like Inspector Gadget
was.
It's cool. Except they had the group iPhone option where a whole group of people could talk and chat face-to-face on the iPhone. There's a bug. And so other people who weren't in the call could also listen in.
Oh.
Without picking it up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so apparently it was discovered by a 14-year-old.
Huh. Of course it was.
Take that, grown-ups.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This generation is more tolerant, more privacy concerned, more, right? Like there's all these different things that they are actually much more responsible than our generation because we are like, privacy, it's an illusion anyway.
What have I got to hide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some of these kids, man, they're like, hey, wait a minute. Like, I don't want that nonsense happening. Mm-hmm. Spyware and government surveillance and, you know.
I just thought it was really cool because I don't necessarily think we give them enough credit, and this might seem controversial. I also don't think we give them enough space. Mm. I think that we try to organize them around prescribed outcomes, like you will be an elite soccer player, you will be a hockey player, you will go to gymnastics or dance, you will, you know. And I feel like there's really something to be said for that informal gathering space where even for a few hours, they're in charge of their own destiny. I'm a huge fan of the skate park. Yeah. And I know that there are people who say, well, there's bad things that happen at the skate park. You know what? There's bad things that happen at the hockey rink, too.
Yeah. We and there's bad things that happen in back alleys.
Yes.
Like, I kind of think bad things are going to happen.
Yes.
Wouldn't you like them to be somewhat monitored and contained and maybe happen less frequently because there's this big space that they're gathering?
And the assumption that the teenagers, if something happens at the beach or there's beer cans in a, overflowing beer cans in a garbage can, that it was those kids, you know, like everybody just jumps to those youth today. And if I got my hands on them, I'd whip them. And I'm like, whoa, wait, we're talking about a very important demographic in society. Like, you can't send them back to childhood. You can't. They're going to be adults. Mm-hmm. Of course, bad things happen, but it isn't always the teenagers. And we also create an environment that's very restrictive. Just look around town. No this, no that, no, you know.
Yep. No loitering.
No rollerblading, no skateboarding, no. Yep. It's always, and I mean, if I navigate around the world and I'm getting all these negative messages, you know what? I might kick a few garbage cans myself. At some point, you're kind of like, hey, wait a minute. I live here too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd love to see us think about, you know, let's talk about all the demographics when we're doing community planning.
Right? Yes, absolutely. I totally agree.
Lights at the skate park.
Yeah.
Let's light up. Reinvigorating some public spaces so they can have free play, so they can just grab a basketball. Like, it does, not everything has to be planned and organized. There's got to be room for the, what's the word I'm looking for? Spontaneity, you know?
And there's got to be room for loitering.
Yes.
Sorry to say, we need to encourage loitering.
People need to loiter.
Yeah, because we talk all the time about, well, we don't, you know, we're never bored. We fill our time. We're standing in line at the bank and we fill our time with the screen. And, well, guess what? When kids are loitering, they're talking to each other.
Yes. Like, and they're absorbing their environment. And we're also sending the message, hey, guess what? You're welcome here. Hey, there's a ping pong. I know I always talk about the cement ping pong table tennis tables that I would love to see around public spaces that are lit after dark, so kids have a place to go, so they don't. So we're not sending the message, just you little so and so's, you go do your trouble somewhere where nobody can see you.
Like, well, lighting was something we talked about when we did our thing.
Not in an obstructive, like, you're under interrogation lighting.
Yeah,
but
not
welcoming.
Harsh, horrible lighting, because harsh lighting actually creates deep shadows, which makes it easier for people to hide and then makes people more fearful. But nice, you know, mood lighting, gentle, soft lighting can make a place really beautiful and people want to hang out there. Mm-hmm. And it's still well lit up so that you can, you know, like, that's the broken window sort of syndrome, where if people can see the space, there's less likelihood of something bad happening there. Mm. But it's also more likely that people will gather there because it's lit.
Yeah. So it's this idea of hostile design. And we do it all the time. We put spikes up and, you know, we make curbs so you can't sit on them, or it's hostile design. And I think it's counterintuitive. And when I went to, when I went to Paris last time, and I realized that there was a skate park between two major French banks. Like, it was the width of this studio. Hmm. But they went out of their way, not the banks probably, but the community or the city planning went out of their way to say, there is some not positively used public space right there. Mm-hmm. It's dark at night, you know. So they lit it and they put a skate park, a little wee tiny couple ramps.
Nice.
It's fantastic.
When you think
and
about
it brings
it,
life
that's
to
a better
space that is otherwise only used from 9 to 5.
Yeah. And that's a better use of space when you think about it than just planting some shrubberies or whatever, because then it provides just, you know, places to hide and people would just
necessarily
be active.
Respectfully suggest that sometimes as grown-ups we are antisocial.
Yeah. Then we create antisocial spaces.
Negative, like we're putting fences up. You can put fences, but they don't have to be ugly and foreboding and you're on camera and know this and know, you know, like, I think that if we worry about antisocial behavior, we have to look in the mirror and say, wait a minute, am I being antisocial? So I just find the whole experience of parenting very humbling. Every stage is different. But when they're little and you can pick them up and put them in a car seat, I mean, once they're on their own power and they can get on a bus and have a bank account, and you know, the rules change.
Yeah,
and,
totally does.
And I deeply wish I'd thought more about it before it happened, but
I don't think we can, right? Like, I think we just have to respond, yeah. and we have to arm ourselves with the best knowledge that mm-hmm. we can. We have to make mm-hmm. the time to read and talk to each other, mm-hmm. stay connected with other parents. Yeah.
And I hope that I remember what they were like before. Sometimes I forget. I'm so consumed by
yeah.
teenagers. I forget, oh my God, I have to remember you were that little 2-year-old who
yeah.
would say, hi, I love you, mommy. You know, that you got to mm-hmm. remember those little voices. And they're still in there.
They are.
Yeah.
And then here's your opportunity is when they graduate. So we just went through the baby pictures because
aww.
Every kid has to bring a baby picture
really?
For the grad
I'll
book,
have the
right?
perfect ones.
So, oh yeah. So we had to go through and it's always, oh, aww. Do you remember? Oh, and the little pool. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that was the dog we had then. Mm-hmm. Oh, the dog loved you so much and protected you. And remember our backyard then? And like all the stories come out yeah. when you're looking through all these pictures with them. And yeah, they're still there. And
they
they're
feel
interested.
Connected. I mean, sometimes if I'm feeling frustrated or not sure where this thing is going or what's happening, I'll just grab an old picture and stick it on their door. Like, I remember this.
Aww, that's perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
So that, remember those things.
Yes. Yeah. Story, story, story. Yeah. Remember that you're giving them an anchor. You're giving them a place. And they're redefining themselves every minute of every day. They're
every
figuring
day.
Out ways to do it. And they're not like, they're just not entirely equipped to do that.
No.
So you're there to help that process, but you're not there to tell them who they
no.
are.
Oh no. Because they'll find out that, and as I say, they'll either do it the easy way or the hard way. So.
Yeah.
And they're going to be them.
Yeah. Ugh. They're going to be them. Surprise. So I want to point out that one of the motivations to talking about kids these days is because did you see
days.
That? Did you, like segue?
Yeah,
I got to say segue.
Segue
again. Is the youth exhibition coming
yes.
up at the gallery. So we do this every other year. We have an open youth show for kids age 15 to 24,
and
so.
They have some amazing stories to tell. I
yep.
love those shows.
It's
so raw, right?
It is.
You're
it's
like
our
wow.
opportunity to see inside their brains.
Yeah.
They don't give us these opportunities very mm-hmm. often. Their brains are reorganizing themselves every minute, so it's really hard for them to even share. But when they're expressing themselves through visual art, lots of things come out that we didn't see on the outside. Mm-hmm. So this is a great opportunity for us to communicate with them, for them to communicate with us.
And to give them that space. Mm-hmm. This is your space. I really would love to see messaging like, teens welcome.
Yeah.
Well, come and hang out.
I want to put up a sign that says loiter here.
Loiter here. And a lot of groups work hard to create those inclusive spaces mm-hmm. for teens, but sometimes we marginalize them too by, you know, it's harder to get funding and it's harder to get this and it's harder to get that. And, you know, we all benefit when our teens feel included and welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love stories like the city who has a police officer who is who's a wicked good skateboarder, and that's what he does. He hangs out at the skate park.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they'll make that up in way more than money.
Oh yeah.
It's for that population to understand.
Yeah.
You know, these are people who care about us. These are people who relate to our interests, right?
Yeah.
And these are people we can go to as opposed to that confrontational. We're always so freaking bossy. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah. We have to stop.
And we don't want them to grow up thinking that that's how they should live their lives, because then they just end up voting for an authoritarian regime.
Yeah. Adversarial. And yeah. Anyway.
So
there's a lot to, I know it's a cliche, but there is a lot to unpack, and it comes down to humility. So,
yeah. So anyway, if you are a young person who does any kind of visual art, this exhibition is open and available to you. You just need to register by email, but it's only an intent to participate. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to say how many works you're putting in.
Yeah.
It's just saying, I want to do this.
Yeah,
and
or just
I will
stop
then,
in at lunch.
Yeah, yeah. And then I will then just send out reminders of when delivery date is. So the exhibition starts March 1st. So the delivery date is actually February 25th or something like
that.
Which
will come sooner than you think.
It comes. It's only a month away.
Yeah.
So get yourself figured out pretty quick here. Let me know at the art gallery that you want to participate. And then for everybody that wants to see, March 1st to April 3rd will be the youth show.
Oh, lovely.
Kids These Days.
Kids These Days.
Yeah. So it's very exciting. That's and right. I also just kind of wanted to point out this last thing about city design. Let's talk about activating spaces.
Mm-hmm.
especially with teens in mind. Like when we talk about activating space in general, we have to think about who are the kids, who are the people who are actually out at night
and
who
ask
find
them.
That time as their freedom time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So this is our opportunity.
Speaking of fun places for kids to go.
Yeah. To thank our awesome sponsor,
yes.
Brad DeMille.
Kids of all ages.
DeMille's Farm Market.
Yes.
It's still a good place. I see teenagers hanging out there.
Grandpa's neighbor's neighbor, navels. That was a thing.
Yeah.
So thank you, DeMille.
Thanks, Brad. This has been an amazing experience. You're a very good supporter of the community. Thank you. And just a final message out there to check salmonarmartscenter.ca. Check the participate page for arts events coming up in the Shuswap area. All right. Happy teen time out there.
Have fun hanging out.
And we love you.
Bye now.
Bye.